Live from the Vicar's front room, it's another episode of the Dad's Army podcast. Just a minute. What's that pipe doing connected to the gas fire? And what's that large butcher's van doing outside?
If you think we're on the run, we are...
Hello one and all, and welcome to episode 37 of the Dad's Army podcast. Yes, I'm a little bit late this month, I'm afraid. I usually try and get the podcast set at least by the middle of the month. Unfortunately, due to me being on holiday and then getting quite ill, I'm afraid we've had the delay. Therefore, this hopefully should reach you by the end of August, but if not, it should be the first week or so in September. So what have we got for you over the next hour or so? Well, we've got quite a lot of interesting news to go through, which I'm quite looking forward to discuss with someone. Originally, I was going to be discussing it with Oliver Crocker. Now, you do remember Oliver, I'm sure. He's the producer of Frank Williams' new documentary. Unfortunately, due to the fact that I'm probably still contagious, I've decided that it's probably best if I just record this segment on my own. We then go on to feedback. Now, I really want to say thank you so very much to all of you wonderful listeners out there. You sent me so much feedback over the last couple of months or so that I think that just reading those emails that you sent will probably take out the vast majority of this podcast. And for me, that's absolutely fantastic. Every time I get an email from a listener, it makes me think, wow, some people actually enjoy listening to this. And do you know, I've even had emails this time saying, where's the podcast? I need my fix. And for me, it makes it all worthwhile. It's a lot of work putting this podcast together, but I do thoroughly enjoy it. And to get a little bit of feedback, sometimes even if it's bad feedback or negative feedback, really encourages me because it means I know that there are some people out there listening to it. And that really is quite incredible. So thank you very much indeed to all of you who sent in feedback. We've then got a small review of The Armoured Might of Lance Corporal Jones, which ties nicely into a piece of feedback that we've received from one of our listeners. And also we've got the final part of the recordings I made over Perry and Croft weekend, and that will be the speeches the cast and crew made when they were introduced to the crowds at Bressingham Steam Museum back in May this year. So without further ado, let's go over to the newsroom.
Here is the news, and this is John Snagg reading it.
So first up in the news then this month, got some really exciting news, and I was hoping to bring this news to you with Oliver Crocker because his involvement in the news item has been absolutely instrumental, and you'll find out what I mean in a moment. Now, those of you who are Dad's Army Appreciation Society members will know about an event already that's scheduled for November this year. It's the 21st of November. It's being called, rather wittily you may think, Vicar and Chips, and it's an evening in a church hall in London with Frank Williams. Now, Frank recently has been back in front of the cameras, and he's made a couple of brand new short films. Now, Oliver Crocker has been instrumental in either casting or producing the productions that Frank has starred in, and both Oliver and Frank, and possibly the director, Mervyn, will be along on this evening to premiere some of these films. Now, Frank will obviously be talking about his involvement in Dad's Army, but the evening is intended to try and put his successful contribution to Dad's Army into context with the rest of his career. So there'll be a number of different aspects of Frank's career on show on this particular evening. It's going to be about 4 hours long. As the name implies, there will be a fish and chip supper about halfway through. The centrepiece of the evening will be Oliver's original documentary that he made about Frank Williams in 2006. Now, it's never actually been broadcast on television, on any kind of television, that is. That's not analogue, digital, or any of the cable channels. It's been completely ignored, if you like, and there's quite a controversial story about that, but a truncated version was shown at the British Film Institute last December. Now, that went down really, really well. It was 15 minutes in length, so it was actually halved by 50% of its running time. Now, the premiere of this documentary will be made at this event. Not only will Frank be there, but as I've already said, the producer and the director, we hope, will be present, and I'll be interviewing them after we've screened that particular piece of footage. So one, I am really looking forward to seeing the documentary in its entirety because I've never seen it other than the truncated version shown last year. So I'm really looking forward to it, not to mention being a bit nervous about interviewing some guys who, quite frankly, I really admire. Frank is always good value and, as you know, is a good friend of the podcast. But there will be some news, and I'll make certain that Oliver comes on the podcast again before the event to tell us a little bit more information and give us a bit more detail. But I understand the intention is to make this documentary available on DVD at the event. Now, I don't want to say that's an absolute certainty, because clearly things happen and that might not be possible. But Frank certainly will be there. Copies of his autobiography will be there. Of course, he'll be more than willing to sign any books that you purchase from him. Now, where's it happening? How do I get tickets, I hear you ask? Well, it's going to be in central London. It's in Kentish Town. It's going to be in a church hall. When I knew I was going to be organising an event for the vicar, I just had to find a church hall that was appropriate to get him back in his natural environment. The vicar will be back in the church hall in Kentish Town on the 21st of November. The evening will start at 6:30 and will be finished between 10:30 and 11:00. Dinner, as I said, is included. £7.50 per head. You don't have to be a member of the Dad's Army Appreciation Society to attend or to get a ticket, although, to be honest with you, that's probably the easiest way to book, and that would be just to fill out the booking form that was enclosed in the last Dad's Army Appreciation Society magazine that was released about a month or so ago now. However, if you would like to attend and you're not a member, then if you head over to the podcast blog, that's www.dadsarmypodcast.blogspot.com, then you will find information of how to get a booking form. And if you send that booking form to a particular address via payments, then you will have secured your ticket. Now, it's only £7.50. These kind of events are not going to go on forever because, unfortunately, these guys are ageing and it's a fact of life. And there will come a point when they do draw a line. But Frank has got ages to go before he gets there, quite honestly, or should I say quite frankly, because he's very active. He's fantastic at telling stories. He's incredibly listenable. And those of you who listened to the podcast in the past will know how good he is when he gets into his storytelling mode. And I'm really looking forward to finding out a little bit more about Frank, other than his appearances in Dad's Army. So if you want to come along, then if you're a member, send your check off as quickly as possible. And if you're not a member and want to come, head on over to the blog. You can find the link on the main podcast website as well, which is dadsarmypodcast.com. And I look forward to seeing you there in November.
The Box Forward Podcast.
I love it.
Hello, my name's Marty.
My name's Jen.
And this is The Box Room.
The Box Room Podcast.
We talk about good film and bad telly.
Bad films.
Good telly. Start again.
No.
We tend to dip into the geekier side of things because, flip it, that's what we like.
That's true, yes. We talk about nerdy stuff and geeky stuff, mostly. But
mostly.
There aren't any real limits on The Box Room. We did used to have agendas, didn't we?
Yes, but that vanished very quickly. It kind of hampered our tangents.
And now it's all tangents.
Fantastic, lovely tangent. And we've just started getting feedback.
Hello, Marty and Jen. This is Brandy.
Hi, Box Room people.
Hello, Marty, Jen, Lee and Pyra. I don't want to forget anybody. You guys were so rude about Lex. It's not fair.
And sometimes we also have special guests, or maybe possibly Lee.
I think we only have the one.
Yes, and they don't sue, which is brilliant.
If you were to sum up what our podcast was about, it's the things we wish we said down the pub. So yes, please do listen to us. You can find us on Mevio.com or on iTunes. We also have the added danger of the Box Room cat.
That's true. We record every Box Room with the constant danger of a cat falling on us or knocking things over.
Which she frequently does. So look out for that and enjoy us, The Box Room. It's all right.
It's not bad.
Come with us! Run with us!
You're listening to the Dad's Army Podcast with your host, James.
More really exciting news. Nicholas Ridley, who is Arnold Ridley's son, at the time of recording, is about to publish his book about his father called Godfrey's Ghost. Now, there's been quite a lot of publicity about this, predominantly on the internet. And if you want to go and have a look and find out a bit more about this book, then I've posted the link to that on the Dad's Army Podcast blog. So head over to dadsarmypodcast.blogspot.com and follow the links, and you can find out all about the publication. Now, I've been in contact with Nicholas, and I have to say he's been incredibly accommodating, and I'll be talking to Nicholas on the podcast about his book very soon. But it's really going to offer an insight into the life and career of Arnold, and quite frankly, with Nicholas being Arnold's only son, there really isn't anybody else who can offer such an open and accurate insight of what it was like growing up with Arnold Ridley from the age of 50 or so, because he fathered Nicholas at 51, I believe, so quite old. And I think the book is going to be an attempt to lift the lid on Arnold, but not really focus so much on Dad's Army. And for me, that's going to be really exciting because, of course, when we look at Arnold Ridley, or pretty much any other actor within Dad's Army, all we see is the very lovable actors that they portray. And of course, it's very easy sometimes to forget that there is a complete life behind each one of these actors that has spanned many roles, and in some cases, it covers many, many years. And these actors only really became everyday names when Dad's Army came along in their retirement, or when they should have been retired, particularly in Arnold Ridley's case. So I've yet to start reading the book, because I've got through the prologue, and I'm very interested in reading the rest of the book, and hopefully by the time I speak to you again, I will have actually finished reading the book. But in the meantime, do get online, do take a look at this, and anyone who's interested in Dad's Army, I have a feeling that this is going to be one of the most informative books about a cast member that we've seen for some time. So continuing with the news then, there was an interview on LBC Radio, which is London Broadcasting Radio. It used to only be available in London, but is now available all over the UK on digital television. And the interview featured Ian Lavender. Now, he spoke to long-term LBC presenter Steve Allen in one of his regular sessions called In Conversation With Steve Allen, so it's quite a witty name also there, really, I suppose. Anyway, Ian Lavender used to be extremely reticent to talk about Dad's Army, but I'm not sure whether it's just me, but certainly within the last 12 months or so, or particularly since the 40th anniversary last year, Ian Lavender almost seems the spokesperson for the show. And I'm not sure whether or not that's just because of his age, and he's very happy to accept any publicity he may get, or whether or not he's had a change of heart on the way that he decides to talk about his career in Dad's Army. But this interview, it was 45 minutes long. It was incredibly interesting. Steve Allen, for those of you who don't know, really has a way of getting into the psyche of those individuals who he interviews. And I'm not sure whether or not Ian Lavender intended to be quite as candid and open as he was, not just about Dad's Army and his involvement in it, but with the remainder of his career, the things that he's done in the past. He talks about EastEnders, but also what he's doing now. And as we mentioned last podcast, he's currently treading the boards at the London Palladium in Sister Act, and that's mentioned too. But for me, by far the most interesting part of this 45-minute interview was when Ian started talking about his health. Now, some of you may know Ian had real heart trouble a few years ago and was actually the reason why he left EastEnders, or I think possibly part of the reason why he left the cast of EastEnders quite suddenly. But Steve Allen, I think, felt entitled to probe him on this subject because he too has suffered some quite similar health problems. And it was just really refreshing to hear Ian being so candid about the way things are and the way he lives his life. And I have to say, I found this an incredibly interesting interview. I went out of my way to try and find a copy of it because good old LBC didn't actually promote it very much. I stumbled upon it by accident and then couldn't find out when it was scheduled. So one of our listeners, a chap who goes by the name of Analog Man, I think the real name is Sean, so thank you very much, Sean, emailed me the interview. And I have to say, it is well worth tracking down. Perhaps you can let me know if you don't have any success and you would like to hear it. But just to give you a small sample, here's a clip of that interview.
I was standing at the kitchen table reading tomorrow's script. Yeah.
What was it? I mean, what was it? Because I've never had one, and there's lots of other people who don't know how a heart attack manifests itself.
They're different. They're different.
What was it for you? You just felt...
I had no pain. No. Not that squeezing band down the right arm or anything like that. It just was like turning a switch, and I'd never felt like that in my life before.
You got numbness or anything?
No, it's just like taking everything out of you. Vroom. Oh. Gone. And there was a man delivering some parcels at the back door, about 4 yards away, and he saw me and turned my wife round. Said, he needs you. And she turned around. I was in the surgery in the village 2 minutes later. 20 minutes later, I was in hospital in Bury St Edmunds, and that afternoon I was operated on at Papworth. And...
So what have they done for you?
Stop me from dying.
Yes. And for that we are grateful.
Sorry. No, I've got stents.
Me too.
Yeah. And my surgeon came to me and said, do you want the good and the bad news? That afternoon. Now I was sitting up now waving bye-bye to my sons who rushed back from London. Bye-bye. And they were walking off sort of happy dad's still alive. Oh, that's what they told me. You know, they looked sort of happy walking away. And I'm thinking, ah, damn, we're not going to get the car.
Were you a smoker?
I had been. Yeah. I haven't smoked now for a long time.
How many years?
12 years now.
Yeah.
Which is not enough, but
so you do
than
that,
nothing.
I've noticed. I do that.
I'm
as
hot!
Well. No, well, apart from doing that, because I got angina.
Ah.
Same sort of thing. And I was out with a friend, but I did get the pain.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, I don't know what it is. And if I relaxed for a few minutes, it was fine. And so again, they whisk you into hospital and they stick you on a treadmill and they stick all things over your tummy and it's all very nice and they go, we take you in for an x-ray.
Yes.
So you go into the hospital and they stick a camera through your groin,
ooh,
up through your veins, and they go, you need stents. And I go, what? No idea. And they go, it's a little thing that because you're diabetic, we'll give you some coated ones, and they open up like little springs, and it means you'll breathe.
Yes.
And I went from being very pale to having a 3-hour operation all up through my wrist. They did that. Did you have open surgery?
No.
They did through the wrist.
No, but... Through
yes. The groin. Right.
I've forgotten the name suddenly. It's gone from me.
I know. And they do it all up through there, and you're wide awake.
Yeah, that was fascinating.
Do you know why you're wide awake?
Watching it.
Do you know?
I don't know, but I was enjoying it.
Because if you have a heart attack, they can bring you back. If you're under, they can't bring you back.
Really?
Yes, that's the reason you stay awake for it. And that's why you have to suffer.
I was watching telly.
I was watching it as well, thinking, oh, my
fantastic.
God, that's my heart.
Amazing.
Oh, fantastic, isn't it?
Quite amazing, yeah.
So, yes, quite a poignant and quite a moving interview. And certainly listening to the detail he goes to on his procedures, sometimes it's a little bit grimace-inducing, certainly for people who are concerned about their heart. But for me, it was the most informative interview I've ever heard about Ian Lavender. I don't think I've ever heard him be so open. And I learned more about him in those 45 minutes than I have done in the last 12 years of following Dad's Army. Quite incredible, really.
Hello there, my name is Med.
And this is David Frost.
You're not David Frost.
All right, I mean, this is Mark.
And we are the present... Mark?
All right, get on with it.
Okay. And we're the presenters of Waffle On Podcast. And we like to talk about...
crap.
TV broadcast between 1960 to 1999. Would you say it's crap?
Some of it.
Really?
Especially the British stuff. But we've already had a podcast about that, so let's move on from that.
Unbelievable. You can find us at http://... waffleon.podbean.com. Do not smile when I say the word colon.
Oh, I'm not.
As I mentioned in the intro, I've been inundated with emails, so thank you to everyone who's taken the trouble to put finger to keyboard and send me a message, the first of which is from Nick Rich. Hello, Nick. Nick is a long-term listener to the podcast, and I think he's been with us almost from episode one, so it's great to hear from you again, Nick. Hello, James. Just to say, I'm still listening to the podcast, which get better and better each show. Great news about the stage plays coming back. We'll be there at the Porridge stage play, which I'm going to see in Dartford in September. So I guess you would have seen it by now, Nick. And Last of the Summer Wine, which I might go to as it's old Last of the Summer Wine. Yes, well, Last of the Summer Wine, Nick, I'll probably upset you here, but is probably the most least favourite programme I have. It is, for me, watching paint dry is a more stimulating experience than watching that dreadful show. So good luck to you on that. Porridge, however, I absolutely adore. I don't think I would want to see a stage play enough. Dad's Army, yes, I'll be there every time. But Porridge, I'm really not too certain. I think I would just enjoy watching the DVDs once every few years. Be interesting to know, though, how successful it is, the stage play, that is. There are so many old TV series that are getting resurrected in local theatres now. Porridge, Last of the Summer Wine 2 that Nick mentions. But I've seen publicity for Allo Allo, with I think Vicky Michelle was in that as well. And there's been a number of others as well that I'm sure I've seen publicity for. But I can't help thinking they are jumping on the success, perhaps, of the Dad's Army tour. And I think perhaps production companies may be wrong to compare Dad's Army with a number of other production, because they're not as well loved as Dad's Army. Dad's Army has got such a unique following. I've never found another show that has lasted 40 years and has, let's face it, a fairly high average age of fan who are still absolutely devoted to the show. I can't see the other programmes that have done tours being as successful or having that much a devotion or a following. But you never know, I could well be wrong, and presumably these production companies know what they're doing. They wouldn't invest the time or the money to put them on for what would be an unprofitable venture. But anyway, I'm digressing. Yes, I'd like to know what happened to Lindsay Dunn as well, and that's something we talked about with Frank and Oliver on the last podcast. Molly Sugden, who just died, played Mrs. Fox on the Dad's Army radio show, and I say that as no one has mentioned it. No, you're quite right, Nick, and Molly's passing, I suppose, has been somewhat overlooked in the Dad's Army community. I think there was a mention of it in the last Society magazine, but of course not many people will associate her with Dad's Army. But you're quite right. She did play Mrs. Fox in the Dad's Army radio show. Keep up the good work with the podcast and say hello to Tony for me. All the best, Nick. Ooh, I haven't seen Tony for ages, Nick. I'm actually due to see him again soon, and if all goes according to plan, then Tony will be co-hosting either the next podcast or the podcast after that with me. So that'll be good news, hopefully, to long-term listeners of the show. Next email we've got is from Richard Whittle. Thanks very much for your email, Richard. I'm a big Dad's Army fan, and I have been since I was about 7 when I first started watching the show. I have recently discovered the joys of your podcast. I am currently going through your episodes and apologise if I raise anything that you have already addressed. I find that I agree with most of your views on the episodes you review. However, I disagree with your view of my favourite show, The Test. Like you, I agree that Jones clowning around can be annoying at times, but with him demolishing the stumps and staring at the umpire and asking almost pleadingly, "How was that, sir? How was that?" makes me laugh every time. Well, Richard, I think that just proves how diverse Dad's Army are, because it makes me cringe every time. He looks, and I think I said this when we reviewed it probably a couple of years ago, I think Jones' antics are almost ape-like, and sorry, can't find that funny. I also wonder if you will mention It Sticks at Half a Mile, the radio series with Pike and ARP Warden Hodges in it, and of course Wilson. Yes, we did mention that when BBC 7 started playing It Sticks at Half a Mile again, and I've only, I would say, within the last 18 months listened to all of It Sticks Out, and I think it's okay. I think there are certain parts of it that are great, because you can genuinely believe the characters had a life after the final episode of Dad's Army. But there are other points when I think, oh god, that's just not funny, and no, that's not true to the original character or the original series. However, we may cover it in a little bit more detail in the future, but we've yet to devote a whole episode to it, and I doubt we'll be doing that anytime soon. But certainly I'll bear it in mind, Richard. Richard signs off his email. Many thanks for an enjoyable listen. Keep up the good work. We will indeed. Next one we've got. Now, I've had a little email exchange with this chap, a guy called Ian Hall. Thanks, Ian. Great email exchange. Really enjoyed reading your views on Dad's Army. We'll start off by reading your first email. Hi. Really enjoyed the podcast and listened to the latest on my way into work. In fact, I still have a couple of the speeches to finish off. I was wondering if there is a broadcast date for Oliver Crocker's documentary on Frank Williams. I think I remember in an earlier podcast that it was parked with no dates, but I was hoping that this might have changed. Well, Ian, I was hoping that Oliver may be here in person to answer that question. Unfortunately, he's not. However, I can partially answer your question. Yes, as I mentioned earlier, there is a broadcast date, but it's not going to be on television. It's going to be at a special event in November. The intention is to have the documentary on DVD for sale at this event. Now, I will clarify that nearer the time, and I do hope to have Oliver on the podcast prior to the event so we can talk about it with a little bit more certainty. But I have a feeling that there are plans afoot to make this available to Dad's Army Appreciation Society members to start with, and then possibly to the wider public. But we'll have to wait and see. I sent Ian a brief email back, and he returns my email, and he continues, so because he's come up with a really good story here. Thanks for your reply, James. I've just finished watching Everybody's Trucking, which was on BBC Two at the weekend. Like so many of the episodes, I can't remember this one, but thoroughly enjoyed it. Interestingly, that nearly all of it is filmed on location. Yeah, now I really liked Everybody's Trucking, and I came to that episode late, and I seem not to be alone, not just you and I, Ian, but there's been other people who have emailed me saying, I don't remember ever watching this, and I don't know why. It seems to be one of those hidden episodes that just turns up every once in a while, but it is a darn good episode, and when I watched it again, probably 2 years ago, I came to it very fresh as well, and I found myself laughing. And it is ludicrous. It is ludicrous. It's one of the more silly episodes, especially when they're building all the drawers and tables and so on up in the back of the truck to try and get up the telegraph pole. But nonetheless, I laughed a lot. I did feel they cheapened Mannering a little bit in that episode because he was incredibly silly at the end of the episode. But aside from that, yeah. Thumbs up to Everybody's Trucking. Ian continues, by the way, as a boy, my parents took me to the Dad's Army stage show at the Billingham Forum Theatre in 1975. Not wanting to age you, Ian, but I was one then. Ha, one. I would have been about six at the time, but I remember going to the stage door afterwards with my dad to collect autographs. We managed to meet most of the cast, apart from Ian Lavender, who dodged us and drove off in an open-top roadster. Well, the life of celebrity, Ian. I still have the programme from the show with the autographs from the likes of Arthur Lowe and John Le Mesurier. I'm incredibly jealous. The only part of the actual show I remember, if my memory is not playing tricks on me, is a scene where some of the gang are having afternoon tea and everything being blown across the stage. Looking at the running order for the show, I can't work out which scene this would have been, but it's quite a vivid memory. Well, clearly I didn't see the stage play. I've not seen a recording of it, apart from the odd snippet here and there. But the scene you describe reminds me very clearly of a scene in Is There Still Honey for Tea, right at the very end, where the tea things outside Godfrey's cottage are blown away by the airfield that's just been built next door. If somebody else who has seen the stage play, and I know of at least two people at the Appreciation Society who will know the answer to this instantaneously, then perhaps they can let me know and I'll address that in a later podcast. Ian finishes off, keep up the good work on a podcast that I really enjoy. I'm impressed with how much excellent content you managed to put together on a show which started over 40 years ago. I can imagine the podcasts being a valuable record of the history of the show with so many cast and crew interviews. Cheers, Ian. Thank you very much, Ian. That's a wonderful piece of feedback there, and I thoroughly enjoyed reading your experience of standing at the stage door at the 75 stage play. Peter Hancock is our next feedbacky, if that's a word, which I'm sure it isn't. James, I am new to the Dad's Army podcast, having only discovered it with my new MP3 player. Just a short note to say how much I enjoyed your talk on the movie and conversation with Frank Williams. I then listened to episodes 21 and 22 recorded over the Croft and Perry weekend, that would have been in 2008, and again thoroughly enjoyed it. Will you use the podcast as a forum to discuss other Croft and Perry work, especially the much underrated You Rang Me Lord? Well, I'm going to say something that's probably quite controversial now, Peter. I don't really like many other Croft and Perry collaborations. I really have difficulty with It Ain't Our Fault, Mum, which I know is Jeremy Lloyd. Heidi High, which everybody else seems to think is wonderful. Ugh, it's never done it for me. You Rang Me, Lord. I have to say, yeah, it's all right. I've watched the first series of You Rang Me, Lord, and for me, it's a 50-minute episode that just kills it, and I think is also the reason why it's never been repeated on BBC One. I think I've probably said that in a previous podcast. So the short answer to your question is probably no. I'm quite happy to discuss relevant scenes out of other Perry and Croft work, if it's relevant to Dad's Army, but will I ever go out of my way to watch another one of their productions? Unlikely, I think. Anyway, Peter continues, having been a fan of Dad's Army since my childhood, when Saturday tea time repeats were on BBC One, I wrote to David and he kindly sent me the handwritten copy, original draft, complete with scribblings and crossings out, etc. A sergeant saved my boy. The first page is missing, but it totals 34 foolscap pages. I am saving it for when the Antiques Roadshow visit my area. Now, when I read that paragraph, I went through a couple of emotions. First of all, Peter, you are so incredibly fortunate to have a handwritten copy of one particular script, and for someone who would recognise the handwriting, then we would know for sure who wrote Sergeant Save My Boy, whether or not it was Perry or Croft. Now, the other thought that I had was when I read you are saving it for the Antiques Roadshow, and it was no, don't sell it, keep hold of it, something like that will be an absolute treasure one day, and sending it off at the Antiques Roadshow, whether or not the Antiques Roadshow would be interested in a script that was written 40 years ago, I'm not sure anyway, but how can you think of profiteering out of something so wonderful? If David has sent you this script, keep it, frame it, all 40-odd pages of it. But there you are, that's probably just my obsession. Peter carries on. I was then lucky enough to meet the great man when I was 17 and did work experience placement on Oh, Dr. Beeching, second series. I shiver at that because I thought it was so terrible. It was fascinating visiting the location filming in Arley and then subsequent studio rehearsal recording for the episode Love is a Very Splendid Thing. I now work in television, so it was a productive week, as well as an excuse to meet a team who I grew up watching as a boy. Yeah, not many people get to meet their heroes, so you are very privileged indeed, Peter. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to episode 35 and this year's location tour. So, yes, Peter sent this all the way back in June, but thanks ever so much, Peter. I'm glad we've actually got round to your piece of feedback at long last, and thank you so very much for sending in your thoughts. Simon Tildesley sent in an email. Hi, well done on the podcast, really enjoy them. During the latest podcast, a recruit episode was being discussed and you talked about the hymn the vicar was singing on guard duty. I think you all agreed it was Onward Christian Soldiers. The hymn is actually Oft in Danger, Oft in Woe, and is sung by the vicar to the tune University College by H.J. Gauntlet. Keep up the good work, Simon Tildesley. Thank you, Simon. You probably realised at the time we didn't have access to the DVD. Even if we did, we didn't want to stop it and play it again. So what we decided to do was take a gamble. We knew the words Christian soldiers were in it. And as you can see in post-production, when I inserted that particular clip, we got it wrong. But thank you very much for pointing it out. And I didn't know that was the name of the song. And well spotted. Trevor Cass is the author of the final piece of feedback we've received. It happens to be particularly pertinent to this podcast. Hi, James. Has recently discovered the DA podcast and have to say it's hugely enjoyable, particularly for the wonderful informative comments from so many of your guests. For that reason, I wonder if it is to you I should submit a long-standing question I have regarding a particular scene I recall from a Dad's Army episode, but which I have never seen since that first broadcast. The scene involves Walker and Jones, and if I recall all right, for some reason, Jones had given Walker access to his cold store, and Walker was visiting Jones, who had just exited the cold store, and had a conversation between, and a conversation between the two ensued. I can't recall the subject of their conversation, but the hilarious event which occurred at the end of their interchange was that Walker tweaked the end of Jones's moustache, which promptly fell off. Presumably, his sojourn in cold store had frozen it solid. I would dearly love to know in which episode this wonderful scene appeared, because I haven't seen it since, despite having watched so many tapes, DVD and TV repeats. I harbour a suspicion that it must be one of the three missing episodes, but frankly that is probably my pure wishful conjecture. Now, I've already sent Trevor an email back, but I will address it on the podcast as well. It's not one of the missing episodes. It is, in fact, The Armoured Might of Lance Corporal Jones. It was the first episode from Series 3 and was also notable for a number of other reasons as well. It was the first episode to be broadcast in colour. It was also the first episode to feature Frank Williams in as the Vicar. He only had two lines, and I think the last line he had ended up in Fraser calling him a twerp. But there you go. It was also the first episode to feature Pamela Cundell. It also featured Jones's van being used by the platoon for the first time, and that was the reason as to why Walker and Jones were having a conversation in the cold room. It was to try and get some free petrol coupons from the War Office if it was classified as platoon transport. However, good old Mannerin scuppered that plan when he decided to have the van converted to gas, and that's a storyline that they had already visited in the film. Now, that must have been very soon before or very soon after the 1971 film. I can't remember. I have a feeling Series 3 was 71 as well, but can't remember without looking it up, and I'm in the middle of recording. Anyway, I hope that answers your question, Trevor. And I've got Paul Carpenter on hand just to give us a little bit more information about The Armoured Might of Lance Corporal Jones.
This is Frank Williams and you're listening to the Dad's Army Podcast.
Hello. Hopefully I won't go over some ground that's already been mentioned in the other reviews in this podcast. But anyway, here goes. This might be mentioned, but it is the first episode to be recorded in colour. It's being the first episode in Series 3. And the episode was to be called The Armoured Might of Jack Jones, and that's obviously subsequently been changed somewhere down the line. And it's one of these pivotal episodes, I think. It's very similar to Branded and Loneliness of a Long Distance Walker, Getting the Bird, where we learn just that little bit more about the characters or the platoon or even the town or the environment. There are also, in this episode, many first appearances. There's Mrs. Fox, who gives Jones that famous wink of hers, and here we learn that she is still married, although it still doesn't stop her flirting with the butcher of Warmington. Also in the queue at the butcher's is Mrs. Casson, played by Olive Mercer, who later became Mrs. Yateman in subsequent episodes. Interestingly, from this scene, we know that a sausage works out at fourpence. Clive Dunn makes a mistake when calling over to Doris about the money, but he quickly corrects himself. That's a slight faux pas there from Clive Dunn. And also in the queue is a Mrs. Meadows. Now, could this be the wife of Private Meadows, who was the accordion player in The Godiva Affair? Also, in this scene, we see a young Raymond, though he doesn't seem that young to me. Later in the episode, several more new faces appear, most notably the Vicar, although very briefly when he challenges Fraser, who is taking gas from his gas fire. Mr. Blewett, played by Harold Bennett, is the patient on the stretcher at the end scene, and not forgetting an appearance by Nigel Hawthorne, who was to go on to play great things. This is another episode that does not include the church hall or the office sets. The main sets are the churchyard, Butcher Shop and Percy Street, which the latter, I suspect, is in fact the churchyard with different scenery just pushed in front of it. The location filming for this episode took place on Stander, which was where we see the van driving along with the gas on top of it, and in Nether Row, which obviously substituted for Percy Street. We're not sure at the moment where the refrigerator scene was filmed. That could have been anywhere, really, and I suspect it was filmed instead of actually shot in the studio to give the effect of freezing up, which is probably easier to do than in front of a live audience. But the star of the show must surely be Jones's van. And when we first see it, it's in the churchyard. It's a 1935 two-ton Ford box van, which was found abandoned in a street in Streatham, which is in South London, by Frank Holland, who was an assistant props master. Now, Frank contacted Frank Wilmington, who owned the company that loaned vehicles to the BBC, and Wilmington contacted the police to make inquiries as to its ownership, and subsequently he was allowed to claim the vehicle, which was then put in for restoration. It was designer Paul Joel who selected a vehicle and drew up plans from for where the holes would be in the side and roof, and Wilmington's company did all the conversion work. And when it was not needed, the van was able to be used as a normal vehicle. It had slots in the side where plain bits of board could be slid over the holes that were made in the side for the platoon. The sharp-eyed amongst you will notice that the mirrors do a magical disappearing act. And this is obviously done to aid filming and to eliminate reflections. The van's last appearance in Dad's Army was in Number Engaged, and this was the penultimate episode. Since then, the van was sold to a Ford dealer in Finchley, where it stood in their showroom. I can remember it there, and I paid my respects to it once or twice, I suppose. And in 1990, it was sold for auction, and had some press coverage as well, I remember it in the papers. And it looked strange with all the other vehicles when I went to see it in the auction rooms for the last time, which I thought was the last time, actually, because we weren't sure where or who it would be sold to. It could have gone abroad. But thankfully, it was brought by the Patrick Motor Museum in Birmingham, where it remains to this day, having an occasional run to fairs, rallies, and to our Dad's Army events. And we at the Society have become well acquainted with Peter, who is its regular, I suppose, carer. During this episode, the platoon had helped with some of the more active duties. This included the recently departed Colin Bean and Richard Jakes, most prominently. Indeed, in the last sequence, it is these two that you see, plus Harold Bennett, but we don't see any more regulars for some strange reason. Well, before I sign off, I have mentioned that this episode is also the first one where we see a chief air raid Warden Hodges, played by Bill Pertwee, although he does still appear in his familiar black hat and not the white one as he donned later on to designate his higher status. The original exchanges between Mannering and Hodges in this episode were changed slightly from the original script. They included mention of Hodges removing his account from Mannering's bank because if he upsets him, and Mannering's took a back foot on this, and also later on in the episode, this exchange is repeated, where Hodges threatens to remove his personal and his business accounts, but he is placated by Wilson, who holds Mannering back slightly. So that's about the size of it, really. A little bit of information there, and it's one of my favourite episodes, partly because it's so pivotal. And if we are going to mark it, I'll give it probably 7.5 out of 10. Anyway, I'll speak to you again soon, and cheerio.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. And can I just say thank you to absolutely everybody who sent in feedback over the last couple of months. It's been a very long time since I've had the opportunity just to sit down and go through some of the feedback that I've received. And I am a little bit slow at it. I've said it in the past. I really should be a little bit more on the ball. But I always get there in the end. So keep listening if you do send some feedback in, because 9 times out of 10, I always do get to read it out. Now, moving on somewhat, we're coming up to the last part of the Bressingham recordings that I made. Now, Perry and Croft Day 2009 happened all the way back in May this year, and this is the last set of recordings that I have for you. They're not as informative as previous ones, I'm afraid. I think that partly may be due to the fact that all of the cast and crew were stuck on a bus. It was an extremely hot day. Bill Pertwee, I think, was in a particular hurry to get off the bus, as you'll hear. He just walked off eventually and didn't say anything to anybody. I think it's all a little bit of a show with Bill, and it was quite funny, it has to be said. But there isn't too much said by many of the other cast members either. But without spoiling it too much, I'll press the play button now and you can listen for yourselves.
A good friend to the Dad's Army Appreciation Society, Charles Garland. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Yeah, and you. Every time we went filming with David Croft, the sun shone, and it's known as Croft weather, and it hasn't let us down again today. What a fantastic weather we've got. And how super to see you. Good morning, sir. I'm going to introduce you now to the people who have arrived on this bus. It's been a long journey from the end of that track, and it's taken several minutes. And I hope that you have to get off when I say who you are. You can't
You can't just sit there. They're gossiping, you see. They haven't seen each other. I love this being on the platform. It's marvellous. It raises me to the extraordinary height of 5'3". I'm glad Sue Pollard's not here. She'd be taking... This man... He's off. Where are you going, Billy? Where are you going, Bill? Are you? Oh. Do you want to say anything? All right. Give me a round of applause anyway. It's Bill Pertwee. Where did he go? Who wants to come out? Anybody want to come out and greet the audience? Come on. Now, very unusually, we have somebody who didn't appear at all in Dad's Army, but you know, he was sitting there watching absolutely every episode, and is a man that I'm very proud and privileged to be able to call Sir, on account of him being a bit bigger than me. It's that grumpy old rock star. It's your actual Rick Wakeman. Give him the clap he so richly deserves. Second.
I just wanted to say, I only live down the road, so it's great for me. I come up anyway. But it was great to get a lift up from Charles. I've known Charles for many years, ever since the successful sex change operation, which has proven absolutely tremendous. And absolutely thrilled. So you know him as Charles Garland. I know him as Charlotte Garland, which is... And thanks very much for the lift down. Now you can introduce proper people.
You promised you wouldn't mention that bit. Thanks, Rick. Fantastic to have Rick aboard. I don't know where Pertwee went. Oh, anyway, who's going to get off next? Here we are. Now, you remember the very last episode of Dad's Army when Corporal Jones finally marries his longtime sweetheart, Mrs. Fox. Here she is. She doesn't need a microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Pam Cundell. Told you so.
What a lovely day, and we're going to have just such a good time together, and I'm so pleased to be here, and it's wonderful to see all these young people too. Lovely, 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 lovely. Thank you.
They're all younger than us, Pam.
I know.
Every last one of you. There you are, Bill will help you down. There you go. Watch your step, fantastic. Now, of course, this is Crofton Perry Day. This is not just Dad's Army. So we have one of the great stars from another one of the sitcoms, of course, Ain't Half Hot Mum, always known as Mr. Lardy Dar Gunner Graham, is John Clegg.
Hello. I came last year for the first time, and you all gave me such a wonderful time, I decided to come again. Lovely to see you all. Marvellous.
Fantastic. Tribute to you, Mrs. Burrows. Now, another show. You Rang the Lord, remember that one?
Yes.
Sunday nights, 50 minutes, innovative, marvellous. And there, following the Honourable Teddy everywhere she went, trying to snare him and get him into her chambers, and failing miserably. Luckily, she hasn't failed to arrive here this morning. It's lovely, Yvonne Marsh.
Hello.
Say a few words.
Hello, everybody. This is my first time here, and it's absolutely marvellous to see so many enthusiastic people, I can't tell you. It's really a smashing day, and we're all going to enjoy it.
Go on, then. That was nice. And the object of the affections also, of course, is a man who's appeared in just about everything, which is quite frightening. Will you ever do Jonathan Ross? Done Jonathan Ross as well? Oh, it's only a matter of time. Only a matter of time. The Honourable Teddy from You Rang My Lord. Captain Ashwood. I can't remember all these other names. I just know him as Michael Knowles. Here he comes. Come back, Mrs. Noah.
Is it safe to go? Is she gone now?
Yes,
oh, it's safe. Thank you. It's lovely to be here. If someone hadn't already said it, I'd say, it ain't half hot, Mum, today. But anyway, oh, thank you. But it's nice to be here again. It's always a pleasure to come here. So I'm looking very much forward to the day. Thank you.
And we'll have no gossiping in this jungle.
Who have we got? Oh, yes, now then. This is the Vicar of Warmington-on-Sea, went on to be the bishop in Yarangmalord, and in the intervening years between the series, we don't know what happened to him. We can only assume, I suppose, he became archdeacon somewhere, possibly dean of Rochester, somewhere like that. He must have climbed up the hierarchy to reach the dizzy heights of bishop. Some of us think that he should be made the next pope. Well, you know, he's got the demeanour and certainly the shape. It's the one and only marvellous Mr. Frank Williams.
Hello, it's lovely to be here again, see all you lovely people. The only thing I haven't quite made in the ecclesiastical thing is archbishop. And I think I look like the last one, so if ever they do his life, I'll be very good in it. But it is wonderful to be here. I married Mrs. Fox to Corporal Jones, and I married Bill Pertwee to somebody in Yarangmalord, so I did a lot of marrying, but I didn't get married myself. Anyway, have a lovely day. Great to see you, and thanks a lot.
Marvellous. He looks like the last archbishop and makes more sense than the current one. Ooh. Controversial. Well, nobody... He's so clever, this Archbishop of Canterbury, nobody understands a word he says. Now the next gentleman was a colleague of mine when I was at the BBC, rather senior to me, so he used to push me around a lot. So I can get my own back now. But not only a great situation comedy producer, you'll see his name every time Keeping Up Appearances comes along. But he also was responsible for the Dad's Army radio versions and wrote with Michael Knowles many extra versions of Dad's Army. And in addition to all sorts of other things he's written, he's a real man who, if only he could find a bushel, I'm sure he'd bring his light out from under it. Here's Harold Snowd, very famous man.
I'm good to see you folks. It's very difficult to say something different year after year after year, and indeed when you've already had five people on ahead of you anyway, you know, or six people, whatever it is. But nevertheless, hang on, it's not changing the weather, is it? No, I'm sure it isn't. It's typical Croft weather, isn't it? Lovely sun. It's going to be like that. Hope you have a very good day. Enjoy yourselves. There's a lot to do. How many of you have been here before, as a matter of interest? Oh, I thought so. Yeah, it's jolly good. Okay. Anyway, have a lovely day. Enjoy yourselves. I'm sure it's going to go extremely well.
Thanks, Harold. Without this person, we wouldn't be here. Certainly, if not the godfather of comedy, king of comedy, is David Croft, OBE. Best hat competition. Do you want to say anything, David, or just move aside? Move somewhere. The great David Croft. A one-off. Now, when David was a producer-director at the BBC, he employed a young actor to appear in... Was it Hugh and I? Probably was. And he turned up with a script in his hand and said, could you read this, please? And it turned out to be the very first episode of Dad's Army. It wasn't called that, but eventually became it. And, of course, this is the man who thought this up, and he's the reason why I'm not still in bed this morning, enjoying a cup of tea in comfort. It's Jimmy Berry, OBE.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of my fellow old-age pensioner, David Croft, it's lovely to see you year after year. You know, it's amazing. I recognise all your face. You come back year after year. I ask myself, can you take any more punishment? Enjoy yourselves, everybody. And David Croft and I will be coming amongst you to give you words of wisdom. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jimmy.
There we go.
You're listening to the Dad's Army podcast with your host.
host, James.
Now, over the last couple of years, I've had the odd request here and there from various people who I've met, some people who have emailed, some people I've met at events, asking whether or not the podcast is available on compact disc. And I've decided to try and do something so that people who want to listen to the podcast can. So from now on, they will be available on CD. Now, as some of you may know, and some of you may not know, I've never talked about it on the podcast before. This podcast, although it's free for you, it does actually cost me a little bit, certainly in time and also financially. And the more successful the podcast, the more it costs me. Now, I've never had a problem with that. I thoroughly enjoy producing the podcast and I don't mind paying for it. However, what I've decided to do is put a donate button on our website. So if you would like an episode of the Dad's Army podcast on CD, all you need to do is click on the donate button and it takes you to a PayPal page. That means that you are paid a sum of £1 for every episode of Dad's Army that you would like. Now, it doesn't matter how many CDs it takes up. If you want a long episode, I'm quite happy to put it onto two CDs and it still costs £1. In order to do that, you would need to sign up to PayPal and I'll let you have a look at the PayPal website to find out how to do that. It's all incredibly easy. And once I receive the payment of £1 along with the request via PayPal on which episode that you want, then I will send it to you through the post. If, of course, you just like to make a donation towards the cost of producing the show, then that's going to be gratefully received. And I'll make certain that everyone who does so gets a credit in a future podcast. So just to remind you, the podcast will always, always be free. So don't ever think I'm going to start charging for it, because that's simply not the way I want to take it. However, I do want to give you the opportunity to contribute to the running costs if you feel that you would like to do so. The donate button is on the main podcast page. That's dadsarmypodcast.com.
My name is Joe Tyler Drake. I've just made a cup of tea, and that tea is taking me back to 1981. I may be 1 second away from life, or 1 second away from burning my lip. All I know is that I have to keep fighting. Fight to live, fight to sing, fight to hear the latest Flash and Blade podcast.
That's about it for podcast 37. I apologise once again for the amount of time it's taken me to get this one online. I hope it was worth it. I hope you enjoy it. As you've seen from this podcast, I do go through all the feedback. So please feel free to send me your comments, james@dadsarmypodcast.com. As I said earlier on, it really does make my day when I receive feedback from listeners. Always take a look at the blog. I try and keep that relatively up to date as and when news breaks. That's www.dadsarmypodcast.blogspot.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and you can send me feedback via Twitter if you wish. That's twitter.com/dadsarmypodcast. Thanks ever so much for listening and I look forward to catching up with you in September. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of the summer whilst it lasts anyway, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon. Bye for now.